I am Daniela Stockflit-Menis. Welcome to my podcast, Because Everyone Has a Story, the place to give ordinary people's stories the chance to be shared and preserved. Our stories become the language of connections. Let's enjoy it, connect, and relate. Because everyone has a story. In this episode, we have Dr. Leila Sahavi, my naturopathic doctor, one of my favorite people on my wellness team. She devotes her days to taking meticulous care of her patients' health. Today, she's sharing her personal health journey with us. Dr. Sahavi talks about how she's learning to listen to her body. I am grateful for her vulnerability and willingness to share details about the health struggles she has gone through over the past years. Making assumptions such as doctors are infallible when it comes to their own health and holding them up on a pedestal for absolute knowledge is a mistake we all can sometimes make. Connecting over issues like this story brings out our humanity. I trust you will enjoy her story. Thank you so much, Dr. Sahavi, for being here today.
You're most welcome, Daniela. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Sahavi, you are part of my wellness team. And since I met you in 2014, I cannot thank you enough for all the help and support that you have given me. You not only became my favorite wellness team supporter and naturopath, but also somebody that I can count on. So I am very happy that you're here.
Thank you so much for your kind words. I'm very flattered and very humbled. And again, I'm happy to be part of your healthcare team.
You have a story to share with us.
Daniela, I wanted to share with your audience my own story and health journey over the past year or year and a half. As a naturopathic doctor, I always thought I know a lot about my own body. I know what was going on with myself. And I learned over my own personal health journey that there are so many things that I was quite oblivious of, and I was kind of clueless at that I was having those symptoms. And then I kind of learned the hard way that for so many years I neglected my body and I neglected my health. Now, sitting here today, I am doing better. My health is better. I have learned not to take my own health for granted.
And so that's why you wanted to share with everyone so that they can also learn from your experience?
Yes, Daniela, because I learned so much about my own body and my own health from my own experience. I have been sharing my own story with some of my patients so that everybody knows that even a healthcare practitioner, even a doctor in the field of medicine, can go through major health changes, maybe not get the right treatment at the right time. The delay in the treatments can really pose a big risk. Sharing my story, everyone know that even doctors sometimes need doctors to take care of them. We are not alone. It takes a team to be healthy, and sometimes we want to carry all the weight on our own shoulders, but we do need, I mean, I can speak for myself. I do need to listen to other healthcare practitioners. I do need to see other doctors. And at the same time, I need to take care of myself in order to be healthy and maintain my health.
That's so true. That's so true. I'm glad that you're saying this. Just enlighten us with your story.
It all began in January of 2019. In early January, I traveled to Iran to see my mom. She lives in Iran for most part of the year. I had not seen her for about 2 years. And as soon as she saw me, she said, "Leila, there is something not right with you. There's something going on. You have lost a lot of weight. You just look unhealthy." That's how she said it. My stay in Iran at that time was about 9 days. So the next day when we got up, my mom booked a session for me to go to a clinic in Tehran. Sorry, I had my ultrasound done. And as soon as the radiologist doctor placed the ultrasound transducer on my abdomen, he said, "Leila, did you know that you have a 9 centimeter mass in your abdomen?" And obviously, I had no idea. I was really shocked. So he kept examining me further. So he said, "There is a 9 centimeter mass on one side. There is a 7 centimeter mass on the other side. These are not normal and they need to be checked further." And he said, there is definitely something going on with your pelvic cavity.
When your mom told you that you were not well and you have lost weight, did you feel that you were unwell or you thought you were fine?
I thought I was fine, Daniela. I mean, I attributed everything to just stress and working very long hours, commuting long hours. I attributed everything to just mental, emotional stress related to my practice and just being very, very busy and not taking time for my own health. I attributed everything to just not sleeping too well, not eating very healthy. I never thought there was something physiologically going on with me.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was quite a revelation. Mm-hmm. It just dawned on me that for the past 5, 6, even longer, maybe mm-hmm. even 7 years, that I was always complaining to myself about bloating and just feeling heavy after I would eat anything, even just a very, very small meal. It dawned on me that my digestive symptoms were probably caused by these large masses in my abdomen. So that was just a very strong moment of realization for me that this could have been something besides just digestive issues and more of something maybe gynecological in nature. I came back to Vancouver, so that was in late January. I went to my family doctor. She saw the ultrasound report mm-hmm. that I had done in Tehran, and she was also very, very surprised. And she said, yes, you need an MRI right away. So I had my first MRI done in March. I had to wait about a month. I was just really concerned because they thought maybe it was something to do with maybe ovarian cancer because my blood work was done and one of the cancer markers were elevated. I had the MRI done and it showed by then they had grown. So they diagnosed it as endometrioma.
Wow.
Is late stage of endometriosis. Mm-hmm. And endometriosis, it is the endometrial tissue that goes outside of the uterus and gets deposited inside the abdominal cavity. It could be anywhere from on the fallopian tubes, on the abdomen, on different organs. Then I had a referral to see a gynecologist. And at the first gynecologist that I saw simply said to me, Leila, we will try to salvage your ovaries, but there's a very good chance that we may have to remove your ovaries because they're being compressed under the large endometrial masses. So we will do our best so that you can save your ovaries. And I didn't really like those statistics. So at the age of 37, I didn't want to even consider the thought of not having my ovaries. I wasn't planning on having children. So that for me was not the main issue, just for me knowing women's health and just, you know, really practicing in my own practice, women's health and knowing the value of having hormones from the ovaries for health, for wellness and for longevity. I just didn't want to lose these precious organs at the age of 37 and, mm-hmm. you know, start my menopause journey at such a young age.
Exactly.
So I went to another specialist. He saw the report. What he said to me, which really made my entire outcome really positive, was that this operation needs to be done by somebody who is extremely skilled in endometriosis surgery. And this operation may take a very long time. If the surgeon is very skilled, they may be able to save your ovaries. But again, it has to do with the expertise of the surgeon and with their skilled hands. He recommended a surgeon that he knew from some of his colleagues and from some other cases, a surgeon in San Francisco, California, the leading expert in laparoscopic surgery for endometriosis. And he had invented a procedure for laparoscopic surgery for endometriosis.
The first doctor that you saw that says, I will try, that's never a comfort sentence. I will try. That means that he may fail because try means that you may not make it.
Yes, Daniela, when I heard that statement from the first gynecologist that I met, and when I saw this female gynecologist, she was just matter of fact. And again, she just said very bluntly that she will do her best given the time that they are allotted for the surgery at the hospital. I forgot to mention, Daniela, that she told me that I may have to wait anywhere between 6 to 12 months to actually have the surgery done because I was young, I wasn't planning to have children, and my case, they were considering it not very urgent.
Oh my God. Really?
Yes. And this was 2 years ago before this whole pandemic began. So at the time, I was told that I may have to wait for a year even to have my surgery done. And she would be operating out of the Langley Hospital. And that for me was really not a very good option, because by then I knew that I had these large masses. I was just psychologically really disturbed. I knew I had these tissues in my body, and I was just really emotionally stressed. I was, again, more uncomfortable in my pelvic sensations. I was even psychologically feeling like every bite of food that I was eating was just causing me more bloating, more pain, more discomfort. So for me, just not that realization wasn't very comforting that I would have to wait another year.
Sure.
Knowing that I have had this issue for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
The second gynecologist that I saw in Vancouver, again, his recommendation was for me to have a consultation with a surgeon who specializes in endometriosis surgery, which I did. I met this second gynecologist on a Wednesday. That afternoon, I was on the phone with this surgeon's clinic in San Francisco. And by Friday morning, I basically had my whole operation surgery booked for 3 weeks after that date. And I cannot really believe that it all came together that fast, because for the whole time during the months of February and March, after I knew that I had this endometrioma, that I would eventually have to have an operation done, and I knew that I have to wait for a very long time in Vancouver, I was trying to figure out where I need to go in the States to have a surgery done. Obviously, it would be out of pocket. So I was contacting Mayo Clinic. I was contacting a surgeon in New York. And I just really never felt comfortable with any of these doctors, because their expertise was not just in endometriosis. They would have surgeries for many different gynecological conditions. And I was on the phone for weeks and weeks, you know, with different doctors in the States, different clinics, and none of them really reassured me that I would be going to the right doctor. So as soon as I heard about Dr. Nejat through this gynecologist in Vancouver, I was on the phone with his clinic and I read his website, and it just really felt right for me that this surgeon will be able to help me. And again, the outcome of my surgery will be positive. Basically, that conversation with the gynecologist was Wednesday morning. And by Friday morning, I had my whole surgery booked through Dr. Nejat in San Francisco.
You are a doctor, so you know how to research. But as a patient, the rest of us are, or most of us are, it seems that there's no option that we actually, well, we are in Canada, so the system will help us support. Otherwise, out of pocket, it will have cost a lot of money. You could just go into the States for that.
Yes, Daniela. My goal was to find a doctor and a surgeon to give me a higher percentage of hope that I will be able to, again, stay healthy and not have my ovaries removed in a way that would feel more comfortable for me. Because in Canada, everybody said, well, we will do our best, but we only have so much time in the hospital because of the way that these surgeries are scheduled. The second specialist who referred me to this surgeon in San Francisco, he told me that I were to have my surgery done at a privatized hospital facility in Vancouver. He was working with that facility. He said later, there's really no option because your surgery will likely be complicated. And if something occurs, then you would have to have your case transferred to the hospital. We don't have the ability to start the operation in our own private facility in Vancouver. And if we have to send you to the hospital, we're not able to do that because this was started at a privatized medical facility. So as soon as I heard that, I just knew that I really don't have options even to pay out of pocket in Vancouver or Canada to have my surgery done. So for me, the only option was just to go to the States. Again, finding Dr. Cameron Nejat in San Francisco was, I guess, life-saving for me, Daniela. I mean, not that my case was a matter of life or death, but it was just a matter of being healthier for the rest of my life or being in a state of menopause at the age of 37. So that was the deciding factor for me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I would talk to would tell me, well, you don't want to have children. Then what's the rush? Why do you want to have your surgery done right away? I just knew that I've neglected my body probably for more than 10 years, not listening well to my body and not knowing that my seemingly digestive symptoms were actually related to a gynecological cause. I just really didn't want to be waiting any longer. And I just at that moment really wanted to be more responsible for my own health.
Dr. Sahavi, how would you know that you had this? It is logical that we have a problem in the stomach. We will always blame it to food or digestions. Is there anything that you can tell anyone that these are the symptoms, or just research about everything, what would you suggest?
Yes, that's a really good question, Daniela. My symptoms were always digestive because I was a naturopathic doctor. When I would talk to my family doctor for the years, she would always tell me, well, it's probably digestion, Leila. You're a naturopathic doctor. You can treat yourself. You know, that the thought that it would be something beyond digestion never really crossed my mind. I never asked my doctor to send me for a pelvic ultrasound, and that's on me, and that was my shortcoming, that I didn't pay enough attention, and I never really asked my doctor to send me for an ultrasound or for some sort of imaging procedure. And I just, you know, thought everything was just related to my digestion, what I was eating, what I was not eating. But the issue was, because I only had this main digestive symptom, and I really didn't have any menstrual symptoms, and I never thought that there was something besides digestion for me. Mm-hmm. So again, fast forward to when I had my surgery done in San Francisco. Basically, my surgery took close to 4 hours.
Wow.
Where my surgeon initially thought it would be a 2-hour surgery when I was admitted to the hospital. And he later told me and my husband that he was really glad that I chose him as my surgeon, because he has operated on hundreds of women with severe endometriosis. Had I gone to somebody else, I probably would have lost my right ovary and even the left ovary, and that he was really the best person for me to go to have this operation. And I don't think he was really trying to boast his ego. He was really humble. He was just telling me his honest thought and opinion that he was really the best person for me to go to for this operation.
And that is so reassuring that a doctor can say, I am the best at something.
It was really reassuring for me, Daniela. When we met him in person in San Francisco the day before my surgery, he said, Leila, I have basically blocked 1 hour. You're here. I already know your case. I have your report. I have your blood test. So we are ready for the operation tomorrow. But I have the whole hour for me to answer any questions you have. And he was extremely reassuring that, Leila, this will be a difficult surgery, but I have a really good feeling to help, again, prevent the removal of organs or tissues in your body, and I will do my best. We will take as much time as we need. When I sat down in his office for the consultation before the surgery, I just felt really comfortable. And obviously at that time, I didn't really have a lot of questions because he had answered all of my questions even before we traveled to San Francisco. So he just went over what medications to take to prep my body for the surgery. It was just more about the steps before the surgery and kind of what to expect after the surgery. Again, he was just really reassuring. He looked much younger than his actual age. I think he's now maybe 72 or 74 years of age. He just looked so confident. He looked really, really alert, sharp, exactly all the things that I expected in a surgeon.
That's how doctors should be, confident and also having good bedside manners. But you're a human being that needs the comfort.
Exactly.
And the same happened to me. I had partial hysterectomy, and my doctor was Christina Williams in the women's hospital. And she was always so warm, so caring, so always make you feel comfortable. So it's important for doctors to be that way.
It's very important, Daniela. I am a naturopathic doctor. I've been in practice of medicine and healthcare for over 10 years now. But I just really realized at that moment when I first met the first gynecologist in Vancouver, who was a female doctor, I never felt sympathy or warmth from her, giving me any assurance, any confidence in her ability. And the second doctor that I met in Vancouver, Robert Lazaro, he didn't recommend anything specific, but he really changed the course of my life and health, because he said, Leila, it's just better that you consider going to the States for this surgery, because here in Canada, doctors either don't have that much experience with severe endometriosis, or the hospitals can only spend so many hours on a case because the next surgery is waiting. And he said, if you're able to financially commit to traveling to the States, Dr. Nejad is probably your best option for a surgeon. Again, I'm really glad I met this second doctor, Dr. Lazaro, and that I found Dr. Nejad in San Francisco. After the surgery, Dr. Nejad told my husband they thought the surgery would take maybe 2 hours, 2 hours and a half, but it took close to 4 hours because there were so many endometrial lesions all over my abdominal cavity, even going up to my shoulder. Mm-hmm. He was just really astonished how much my case was extensive. And when they were trying to remove one of the larger masses, it actually exploded in my body, and they had to spend so much more time to remove all of those remaining tissues, and they had to rinse my insides with water, and it was done laparoscopic, so I did not have large incisions, so it was done very delicately and very carefully, precisely. Mm-hmm. When we met him a couple of days later for my post-op follow-up, and he told me, "Leila, you have been probably my most advanced case of endometriosis to this date, with such little gynecological symptoms and with such little menstrual symptoms." So he said in his years of practice and surgery, he never has met anyone who doesn't have any menstrual symptoms and they have such extensive case of endometriosis. Mm-hmm. He was so glad that I chose him to be my surgeon, that he was the right person for this job. And again, he just gave me that reassurance.
Definitely was an artist with his hands.
Absolutely. I really consider him a doctor and an artist. Even after my surgery, I was staying at a hotel in San Francisco to recover. I could hardly move because I guess my surgery was just so complicated and extensive. One day after the surgery, I couldn't breathe because my body was just so tense and I was in so much pain, I couldn't breathe. So I thought maybe there was a blood clot in my shoulders, because my shoulders were frozen. Just being a doctor and just knowing that after a surgery, you could have a small blood clot. I thought maybe there was a small blood clot somewhere in my airways. So that's why I couldn't breathe and I couldn't move my shoulders. My husband called him and he said, "Just bring Leila in right away." So I went there. He examined me. He listened to my lungs. He took my vital signs. He said, "No, I don't think this is a blood clot. You're just really tense. Your muscles are extremely tight. So you're basically holding your breath because you don't want to be experiencing more pain." So he just reassured me that there's really nothing wrong, that I should just go back to the hotel and rest and try to relax my body as best as I can. And then a couple of hours after that, I was able to start breathing better, and the pain started to just gradually dissolve. Mm-hmm. So my recovery after my surgery, Daniela, was, again, just thinking back, it has been a year and a half now from my surgery. My surgery was at the end of April of 2019. Thinking back to how I recovered from this surgery and how I went back to my practice and my life, again, I realized that I did not take a good care of myself, that I rushed to get back to work because I didn't want to take too much time off of my work and practice. Again, I didn't listen to my body for so many days. I was just so weak and I couldn't eat and I was just losing more weight. But I was just going for long drives and working 6 days a week in two different practice locations. I basically didn't give my body enough time to recover before going back to work. Basically, from the date of my surgery to going back to work, it was 9 days. Which is now crazy to me that I only rested for 5 days.
Yes, especially when it was such a major surgery.
Exactly, Daniela. I really take responsibility again that I didn't listen to my body, that I was just really pushing my body. I thought I would be able to handle it. I just thought this was a surgery. Again, at the time, I didn't realize what a major surgery I had gone under. Again, I just really minimized the extent of my surgery because I guess that's just how I am. I usually don't pay too much attention to myself and I just really just go, go, go. At the time, I just wanted to get it done. I just didn't really care about my recovery. I was just really happy that the surgery was done. It was completed, that I was just healthy, meaning I didn't have my tissues removed. But the actual quality of my recovery was just such a minor aspect for me that I just wanted to get back to Vancouver, rest for a few days, and then go back to work because I just love my practice and work so much. Mm-hmm. So now thinking back, I really take responsibility that the way that I was feeling for the whole year of 2019 and then for the first 6 months of 2020 was because I was not in a very healthy state to go back to full-time practice, that my body was just so weak that I didn't give my body enough time to recover. And again, it is really humbling to know that I didn't really pay too much attention to my body. Sometimes it's hard for me to describe how I feel, but I feel now I'm just closer to my body than I was 2 years ago, that I know more about my body today than I knew 2 years ago. But I try not to self-treat myself. I go to other doctors. I now really rely on other healthcare practitioners to guide me, and I seek other people's advice instead of just self-treating myself the way that I did for so many years, thinking that this was all digestion, when in fact it was not digestion. It was something completely different.
Dr. Sahavi, what changed that it makes you realize that you needed to rest and that you needed now to take care of yourself after that big surgery?
So I went back to practice, Daniela. When my receptionist and my assistant saw me, they thought, well, I had lost the weight and they thought it was just normal. But then as the days went on, so let's say throughout May, June, July, I was just starting to become really tired very easily. By noontime, I couldn't even really function. My days were long at work, but I just felt I was not efficiently working. I couldn't really physically move very fast. Again, I had a hard time eating. I guess my body was just so confused. I didn't know how I need to nourish my body. I was just so busy. I didn't have enough time during the day to eat really healthy food, nutritious food. I was just feeding my body without nourishing it. As the months went on, I was just getting really tired. So I remember some of my patients that are really close to me, Daniela, they would even ask me, like sometime like the summer of last year, they would tell me when they were kind of saying goodbye at the end of their consultation, are you okay, Dr. Sahabi? Like they were feeling there was something wrong with me. And obviously, I just didn't want to share too much about my whole experience at the time because I was just really overwhelmed with the whole journey. Mm-hmm. I would just say, no, I'm just stressed or just, you know, busy with work. But I think other people could see that my face was just too slim, that my body was slimming down. I think I just looked really, really pale. I wasn't seeing it. I was just completely clueless. But other people were seeing me. My assistants were telling me like every week, Leila, are you eating? And I kept saying, oh, no, I am eating. I am eating. You know, obviously, I'm not starving myself because I know better. Obviously, I wasn't eating properly for my body's needs at that time. Towards the fall of last year, again, all of these symptoms were getting worse. I was just more tired. I couldn't eat as well as I could. I wasn't sleeping very well, just mentally, emotional stress. And then in November, I decided to just consolidate my two practices into one because I wasn't really able to commute anymore. It was a very difficult decision for me, but I was starting to experience symptoms of anxiety, which was just so new to me. And I just really felt at that time for my physical health, but also mental, emotional health, I need to work a little bit less, that I cannot really keep going working 5-6 days a week the way that I had for 10 years. So I had to really cut back on the volume of my practice and the number of days that I was practicing, basically practice closer to home. And that's where I am today, Daniela. I'm working out of one clinic in North Vancouver a few days a week, and I'm just working from home the rest of the week. I'm still working a lot, but I guess it's just half and half working from home, kind of catching up on the work in the office. But I think I'm just inching closer to having a better life and work balance. I'm still not there yet. It's always a work in progress, but I feel like a year ago in December, I was just so overwhelmed with life and work and my own health. And today I am less overwhelmed, but I know I have a long journey to still feel better. But I am sharing my journey with some of my patients. And sometimes I don't get into the details of it with other patients, but I do share with them that you have to really listen to your body, that you are the expert for your own body. Regardless of what doctors think, what is going on with you, you have to tune in. You have to self-connect. You have to really read your body. We cannot rely on doctors' opinions all of the time, because I always tell my patients, I'm not in your body, you are in your body. So you have to kind of give me the clues as to what it could be. And then we can explore that avenue, that path. This really has improved my own clinical skills, this health journey that I've had for my own self. I have a better appreciation for trusting my patients to let me know what they think is going on with them, what they think is wrong with them, or what they think is not going optimally for their body. I think as a result of my own personal health issues, I have become a more skilled doctor in terms of listening, in terms of communicating better with my patients. Or at least I think I have become better at that, as opposed to just looking at blood work and, you know, looking at the objective findings.
Well, you were very good at listening. So and now are even better then, because that's why I love going to you, because you, it's true. You listen, you make us think, even though that you didn't do it to yourself. You taught me that sometimes we can preach more that we can actually do it to ourselves.
Thank you so much for your kind words again. But yes, I guess for 10 years, I was just really preaching, but I wasn't practicing. When I share my story with some friends or my patients, sometimes people don't say it out loud, but I think I can read what's in their mind, that they cannot believe that I was a doctor and I was just so clueless. And I sometimes just laugh with myself that how little did I know about my body. It's just really, really humbling that there are so many things that we don't know if we don't listen. And, you know, not everything is going to show up on a blood test. Not everything is just going to show up in a very obvious form or manner, that we just have to delve deeper and analyze deeper. And that's really what I'm learning to practice every day with my patients, but also is really my goal for my own body, to really never ignore my symptoms and signs, and then to just connect better and to listen to my body and not ignore the signs and rely on other people to help me and to guide me to be healthy and to feel better, because you can't do everything on your own.
Exactly. And that's why I preach to my friends that we do always need our team of wellness, which also a friend of mine who was in the podcast before, her name is Carrie. She was also saying that you need to surround yourself with people that work for you and also work with each other as well, so that they don't cancel each other. They actually support each other, because one person may not find something, but the other person may suggest something else. So it's not just a naturopath. You have to have a good functional doctor as well. If you cut your finger, probably won't go to a naturopath. It will go to a doctor, to a clinic. So that's why it's important that you surround yourself with people. They actually support each other.
I really like how you described it, Daniela, not canceling each other's purpose, but supporting each other's purpose. Absolutely. From my own experience, now, I really encourage all of my patients, probably more even than before, everyone needs to have a good family doctor, that everybody needs to have other people in their healthcare team, just like you said. And it's really a combination between, I guess, alternative medicine and the conventional medicine, because every doctor, every practitioner brings one way of support for your body and wellness and health and well-being. We don't want to go to a naturopath, for example, to seek psychological advice or counseling, because again, that's not probably their expertise. Again, I really also have been fine-tuning my own skills and honestly say to some of my patients, this is really not my area of expertise. This is not my forte. This is not my focus. I'm not the best person for you to help you in this regard, that maybe you need to go see somebody who is a specialist in this area. I think every doctor should really focus on a few areas, and they should really get good at it, get really skilled, just like I found with my surgeon. He really specializes in cases of endometriosis or ovarian cyst removal, fibroids that are a little bit complicated. And that's really his art that he has honed in on for over so many years.
I have to laugh, Dr. Sahavi, because you said that you're not a counselor or a psychologist, but I have to say sometimes, especially when I met you in 2014 and you were helping me, I was in your office and you were a counselor, a psychologist, you were everything. You really helped. So that was just, even that you didn't want it, you serve for so many areas, and always we love you for that.
Thank you, Daniela. And I'm just always so humbled by your kind words. I really appreciate it. Yes, I think over the years I have been, you know, I guess the counselor, the therapist for a lot of my patients. I guess in retrospect, I have served in those ways. But I guess it's just really part of practice. I try to have a good bedside manner, like we were talking about earlier, Daniela. And again, part of that, for me to be able to feel comfortable in my skin and feel good emotionally and be in a good place of mind and emotion, to be able to transfer that positive energy to my patients. I am just more aware of that these days. When I'm not able to carry a very positive and productive conversation with my patient, that is a clue to me that the next day, maybe I need to sleep better. Maybe I need to eat better. Maybe I need to just take some time off, because otherwise my practice becomes very mechanistic, and I never really like to have a mechanistic practice, like fill prescriptions or, you know, just going through a step. So I just always want to have a consultation that's just very multifaceted. And part of that is me being very healthy and well-balanced.
Exactly. And I also slowly, I mean, it's taking years to be mindful as well of what do I need to do, being aware that it might be different today. Or I also have a method that I speak to my body. Okay, I didn't have a good sleep. I'm not going to be upset. Don't dare be upset. It's all going to be good today. And that works too. Can you just speak to your mind?
I really like that, Daniela. Absolutely. I really like that. today, Daniela. I'm basically just sitting here. I'm practicing what I know and what I love, but I'm also going to a psychologist for myself. I'm now exercising, which is quite new to me. I never really exercised before. I'm going outside. I'm walking. I'm breathing fresh air. I'm going to eat nutritiously. So all the things that I have always preached, I'm really now implementing it for my own self and for my own body and health. It's kind of refreshing to be that person that now is practicing what they preach. And it's just quite nice to go through it.
That's great. And thank you so much for sharing who are in your wellness team. But it's true that we think about work and work, 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 and we forget that we come to this world to be better persons or self. I like that you were able to compare yourself from last December to this December and to know that you have improved. You're not wherever you want to be, but you have improved.
Absolutely, Daniela. Absolutely. You beautifully described this.
If you have anything else that you want to share or you think you said it all?
I think I said it all, Daniela, but really my best advice to really trust their own body. Just know that they know their body better than anybody else, that they should really look at any symptom that comes up from different angles. And don't just take anyone's word that, oh, this is just this issue. Really, my best advice is just to really be the best listener for their own body, that we know our body in the best way and form.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being vulnerable, for sharing, and for giving us all these tips. And I'm certain that it's going to be very helpful to many people. Thank you so much for being here.
You're most welcome, Daniela. It's really my pleasure. And again, thank you so much for inviting me.